Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey, folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain.
Federal officials
here with you on a Tuesday night.
Or create some mechanism for the state to help make that happen.
And welcome into the show.
Anymore. We're good.
Hello, yeah. Radio listeners. Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here with the Johnny Gwynn, as always.
Greetings and salutations.
Yay. Johnny, it's kind of a little bit of a special night for us. Normally, it's just the two of us. We don't get a celebrity sit-in for a very brief moment.
You're right. We don't get a celebrity sit-in.
But we do tonight. We get a very brief celebrity sit-in from our favorite, second favorite, co-favorite, morning show host, Dalton. Dalton, thanks for sitting in for Phil for a few minutes.
Yeah, man. I don't know about celebrity. Actually, I do know. Not a celebrity, but I've obviously been sent here to sabotage the show. I mean, we've been in for 3 minutes, and I've got the news plan. I'm going to write you an apology, actually. So instead of wasting time on your show.
I think our ratings were so high Dan and Dalton are getting threatened.
That's right. We're going to come in and sabotage. And we're not going to hide it. We're going to do it right and be very transparent about it.
But thanks. Yeah, I love you. I love coming in and talking with you guys. So,
We always have a good time, and we hope the listeners do too. Johnny, what's going on in the news? Besides a lot, like always.
Right. Elon Musk eyes Grokopedia. He's going to replace Wikipedia. Did you see that?
I think this is a good idea, and we can get into it later. But if what I saw is true and like something like 60 or 70% of Wikipedia is done by anonymous sources who can only link to certain places and not to others, just get rid of it.
And so the original founder of Wikipedia went on Tucker Carlson and gave a list of all the blacklisted. And it was so many that Tucker Carlson said, I couldn't read through all of them in an hour show.
Oh, yeah. I bet we're on that list.
Can we be? We are way important enough to be censored.
That's my new goal before the end of the year is to get on Wikipedia's non-approved list of sources.
I like that. This is good news. HHS, the MAHA movement, boost AI-driven child cancer research funding today. So the
$50 million.
Yes, it was a lot.
It is not a little bit of money,
and they are also, the people who work in this crazy MAHA commission strategy, new strategy report, want to use AI as a big part of this to expand that money and to make it bigger than what it is to help new innovations come out quicker than what they would normally come out as.
Well, let's just walk through that real quick and explain how that would work. If you think about deploying $50 million into a traditional research setting, you're looking at massive overhead, large staff, lot of admin research assistants, lot of admin, and that money gets eaten up all along the way until you eventually get to the amount of money that actually gets put into the research.
Correct.
And that's not anybody's fault. That's just the way the system is built.
It's called bleeding the beast.
So with this model, if you say that we're going to use AI integrations of this $50 million, you can start to really get strategic at it and say, we only need $1 million worth of compute, so $1 million worth of GPUs, and we can run simulations hundreds of millions of times to get to the answer faster than running traditional research.
That's where Bittensor comes in that we keep talking about, this idea of you can lease
your GPU space.
NVIDIA Rockwell GPUs, so you don't have to build it out. And then they have also anonymous data sets you can also lease as well that would say, I need 2 million health records, anonymous health records. So immediately you start running your algorithm that you're looking for. That's where Bittensor is fantastic for that.
Dalton, that's something that I'll send you a link. You should look into it. It's a company called Bittensor, and basically they are decentralized AI so that if you have a data set that people could learn from that would be worthy or helpful for their research, you can just kind of put it out there and they pay you when they use your data
as
sets.
They need it. Mm. But also the idea is you have an idea to do the research. So instead of having to do like what Elon Musk does and Alphabet has to do, where they have to build data centers.
Yeah.
These data centers are already built and they have what's called excess space, excess bandwidth. So what they do is they lease it out to these people. And the idea is you didn't have to build any of that. So you could actually have a $1 trillion idea with no upfront capital needed.
So you're renting.
You're renting as you need it.
You're renting
the trust me, to get started, that money is very difficult to get started. So they're getting started. And then when you make enough money, then you can build out your own data center if you ever make enough money.
But, well, in the form of government research, there's no need to, right?
Correct.
Like if all this data exists and we just need to have it in a repository where people can access the data sets they need, then we can duplicate our efforts. And, you know, it always drives me crazy when they do some new study about something that we've got the data on for 50 years. Like, did we need a 17th version of this study? Mm. You know,
just go back over the findings you already had and look for new needles in the haystack.
Yeah, what can we learn from these other studies rather than just run another test? It's no different than you see in other areas of government where it's like, well, we got to redo what we just did because somebody's job is to redo what we just did.
Well, hold on,
somebody's got to keep doing. You got to push the papers to your side of the desk so you can push them back to my side of the desk.
Somebody's got to get paid in Iowa to understand would smoking cigars with ducks upset them. So you know that they have to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I've been waiting on the release of that one. I hear it's coming this fall.
Yeah, cigar smoking ducks. And does it cause secondary smoke for people who watch the ducks?
Mm.
Yeah, that's real big research these days.
Well. You know, if it had been a DEI duck, you certainly would have got the funding previously.
Of course. And then later on today, we will be talking about more 31 Atlas, the story that will never go away.
It's never going to end. All right, we'll see you when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night. Johnny, in the first segment, we kind of teased a little bit about what's to come. And a lot of it is in the world of AI, as we talk about quite a bit. And there's some really interesting stuff going on with AI entertainment. We need to talk about Sora 2 at some point later because Sora 2's release today has officially put me on the line of I will never believe anything I see on the internet ever again.
Oh, it's taking you this long to do that?
Well, I've been on the fence and I know better, but now after seeing today's technology release, I'm just never going to believe anything I see again.
Yeah. And you should.
It's just too good.
And so our third segment will be about AI scams.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit because it's the idea of it is your job to be incredibly skeptical of everything. And I hate that the world's that way, but you need to be that way. So. Yeah.
Good. Well, we've also seen some interesting stuff going on with AI movies and actresses.
We have. And we will have a report and it will cover a new AI up-and-coming actress.
Okay.
And then we'll also talk about this controversy of reworking the Bible.
Interesting.
So if we could run that segment, that would be great.
Hey, y'all, this is Agent Ailey Lively, your guide to the wild frontier where tech meets culture, coming at you faster than a quantum computer solving a Sudoku puzzle. Today, we're diving into the great AI shakeup. Think of it as a cultural moon landing, but instead of planting a flag, we're wrestling with what it means to be human. Picture Hollywood as a dusty saloon in an old Western, where AI actress Tilly Norwood just swaggered in, challenging every cowboy or actor to a duel. She's not flesh and blood. She's code and charisma created by a Particle 6 to star in films without ever needing a coffee break. Big-time talent agencies are drawing a line in the sand, saying she's a soulless copy of human art, while her creator calls her a paintbrush, not a pistol. It's like when Gutenberg's press showed up in the 1400s. Monks feared it'd kill calligraphy, but it just made books for everyone. I'm betting Tilly's a new chapter, not the end of the story, opening doors to wild creativity without stealing jobs. Now shift gears to the church pews where Pray.com's using AI to turn Bible stories into blockbuster videos. Think Revelation with more dragons than Game of Thrones. They're hooking young folks with visuals that pop. But theologians like Brad East are clutching their pearls, worried it's turning scripture into TikTok snacks. It's like when stained glass told stories to the illiterate in medieval times. Accessible, not cheap. I say, if artificial intelligence gets one more kid to ponder the good book, that's a win, not a sin. Here's the thread tying it all together. Eye's not a thief in the night. It's a shiny new loom for weaving human stories. Whether it's Tilly Acton or Bible tales dancing on your phone, it's about amplifying what makes us, well, us. Like when jazz met the radio in the 1920s, it didn't kill music, it spread it. So let's not fear the future. Let's code it, script it, and maybe even pray over it, knowing our souls still the spark that lights the fire. This is Agent Allie Lively, signing off with a wink and a prayer that we keep creating, no matter the tools. Stay curious, y'all.
Interesting report there. It keeps getting me back to this idea of how do we know if it's correct or right?
If it's entertainment, do you care?
I would if it's a Bible story.
Well, what if it's biblically correct?
That's my question. How do I know if it's biblically?
I guess you'd have to trust the prayer.com website.
Yeah, but don't you expect that there'll be a gazillion Bible story renderings that whatever's getting clicks? It doesn't matter if it's accurate. It's like whatever's getting clicks.
I got you.
And then it's going to be like, oh, Jesus rode the dinosaur. Well, what do you mean? I saw it on TikTok.
I would tell you that's the same by picking a church by the preacher, because that'd be the same way with the preacher, though.
Yeah, except that through the internet, I can be exposed to thousands of preachers.
Millions of people, hold on, I got you.
I'm not saying don't have it. I'm trying to think of how I deal with this with my kids and explain to them. How do you explain to your kids what's real and what's not in a world where you don't know? And it's got to be based on experience with the source, I guess.
But also, it goes back to the age-old thing of, are you watching what your kid's consuming? Because I grew up more than you, and the world was saying, you let your kid watch TV, is going to ruin him and his soul and everything else, right?
Right.
And we survived to a degree. Now it's a lot more. Now it's not 5 channels, it's 5 million channels.
Yeah, and here's where I'm also going with this. Let's just jump into Sora 2. So Sora 2 is the new technology that came out from OpenAI today.
Yeah.
And in it—
Wait, hold on. We're not going to talk about the new ingenue. It's going to be not even a real person. The new Sweeney. What's her name?
Sydney Sweeney.
The new Sydney Sweeney is not even going to be a real person.
Here's where I'm going. I think she's going to be short-lived, and she's about to be bypassed
by AI.
By this. And what—
But hold on, you can't see her and you can't touch her in real life. Not that I can touch her in real life.
What Sora is doing. Here's what OpenAI is doing. Even though
I'd like to. Well, on her shoulder.
Okay.
On her shoulder.
Well, digitally do whatever you digitally do. But so they're starting a new social media platform called Sora. And the whole idea is you upload fun videos of yourself. Now, here's the thing.
Of yourself.
Yes, you take pictures and video of yourself, and you can render yourself into any scene.
You're right.
You can let your friends use you so that y'all can make videos together.
Yeah, right.
Except once you put this online, which it already is,
anybody
with an internet connection can make you do anything they want.
Which will lead into our third segment about AI scams and how to protect yourself. But if you get a FaceTime of your son, we can now create living avatars of something where I could be on camera, but I put that thing in front of it. But when you see it, it is your son, and I'm acting it out, and it is that person talking in that person's voice, not my voice. Yeah, that's nutty.
I mean, it is a problem.
That is a major problem.
It is a problem for
people. It's called passwords, people. Everybody needs to have a password, password, password. You have a password with your family that only your family knows.
And I would recommend that it's a rotating password that—
It's like a safe word.
Yeah.
Nice tapioca, by the way.
That's between you and whoever you share the need for that with. It's yet to come up in our prior conversations, but it's good to know for future reference.
That Tilly Norwood, though, is quite attractive, and she is more Mary Ann than Ginger.
You know what she also is? Affordable for studios.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine taking, okay, you have a $100 million film,
yep,
right? And you can make a amalgam of all the Tom Cruises and the this and the that for the guy and all this for the lady or whoever it is. You just saved yourself $30, $40 million and not paying for these actors?
Well,
that's pretty big.
It's even going to be of, you prefer this actress in a movie, I prefer this one.
My God.
So you're going to get the movie with her in it, and I'm going to get the movie with the actress I want in it.
Passive income. Why wouldn't I? Well, actors who love acting would hate this. But the idea is like, fine, if this is coming anyway, fine. Avatar me and then pay me one-tenth my...
Somebody
and I don't have to do nothing.
Somebody will do that.
But again, that also goes into realms of things you don't want to be in, though. Hint, hint.
Well, you'd have a licensing agreement that says what you can and cannot be used for.
Does China and the Ukraine and Russia care about any of that stuff?
I saw this comedian. I can't remember her name, but I'm sure you've seen her. She's part of that Rogan crew, blonde-headed woman.
Oh, yeah.
Annie Elderman, right, I think. Right. She was doing a bit where she said, you know, everybody's worried about these deep fakes and them being put on porn. And I'm like, find the hottest person you can. Please don't put my face on her body. Please don't use that as an advertisement I can send to future lovers.
But again, it's a crazy world out there. I don't think I will be avatared for anything of any mass volume. I can tell you that.
No, it's not about the mass volume.
No, it's not. It's the one-on-one.
It's actually moms. Far more dangerous in a micro setting.
Well, again, there's a TV commercial right now where a guy is calling his mother and like we've got your son, you know, whatever. I mean, it's a joke right now. It's not a joke, man.
Yeah,
it's real.
If you think that doxing people is a problem, this is going to be doxing on steroids because they're going to, whenever they want to disagree with you, they're going to create a video of you doing something sketchy. They're going to be like, Johnny, why is there a video of you leaving a hotel with a woman?
But
I don't know.
But here's
could
the great
be
thing,
anything.
Too. It also gives bad people the ability to say, well, that's not me. That's AI.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a court of law trying to validate what is and where
but
the
people,
chain of custody
can
on
still,
video.
But people can still figure out, though, it's fake or not, though. In that code, they can. Of course they can.
I don't.
But hold on. Now, down the road, we might not be able to.
All right. So you tell me, if you go down to the Mobile County Courthouse, how many jurors can understand whether or not a video is fake or not?
Hold on. You better be paying for a defense attorney that can actually figure that out for you.
No, you don't have to. You just got to put doubt in one person's mind.
Okay.
I just got to convince one person this isn't real.
Well, we went down, the as we normally do, to the dystopian movie path.
We did.
Very fast.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating that great stories in indie films, independent films, can now figure out ways to do special effects, on location shots, everything. They can now make a $200 million movie for $8 million now. That, we're going to, we go for a short while. What do I always say? Before there's Doomsday, there's the golden age. We're going to have a golden age of independent filmmaking.
Well, if you think they can do it for $8 million today, I would guess that 12 months from now,
it'd
they
be
can do
800,000 and then 80,000, then 8,000. Yes, exactly. You're right. Yep.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, that's a little bit about AI entertainment. When we come back, we're going to talk
AI scams.
Ooh, what fun.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Okay, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night. Johnny and I are talking about AI. We just got finished talking a little bit about Sora 2, a new technology that was released by OpenAI today that allows you to put yourself into any AI
video. So is it free?
I think it's for pro users now.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I don't know that they've released what the next price tier
would
be.
The minute they go up to the next one, that bottom one they make available for a short, like 5 or 6 or 7 whatever renderings.
Well, and you know, if they're going to make it a social media platform, I imagine they're going to make it free.
Oh yeah.
And they're going to TikTok they're creating the next TikTok is what they're doing.
But I want to say I have a genius amount of producing I was doing.
Yeah.
Making the AI ingenue actress story with the reworking of the Bible and how it's controversial with this leading into the AI scam thing. I didn't think it had a common thread, but now it does. It makes me look very smart as a producer.
Well done.
So we went into it with the idea of be very careful of people making videos of your sons, of your daughters, of your mothers and your fathers and friends. So let's go ahead and, Steve, if we can, run that segment three.
Hey there, crypto enthusiasts and everyday folks. It's Agent Zena on Beyond the Blockchain. Today we're diving into the wild world of AI-powered scams. Think of it as fraudsters upgrading from a rusty old pickup to a souped-up cyber sports car. Artificial intelligence is turbocharging digital deception, making scams faster, sneakier, and scarier than ever. Let's break it down. Picture AI as a master chef cooking up a buffet of scams. It's whipping up synthetic identities, fake people with AI-generated faces and social media lives so real they could fool your grandma's book club. Then there's voice cloning, where scammers mimic your loved one's voice to cry, "I'm in jail, send cash." It's like a horror movie where the monster sounds like your cousin. And don't forget pig butchering, a slow burn scam where AI builds fake relationships, luring you into crypto traps sweeter than a con man's smile. These scams aren't just tech tricks, they're a global mess. Imagine a spider web stretching across borders, spun by trafficked victims forced to scam others. Add economic stress and distrust in institutions, and it's like tossing kindling on a fire. Scams spread fast. So what's the fix? Be skeptical, verify identities, and slow down when someone's rushing you to pay. If you're scammed, freeze your credit, report it, and don't be ashamed. Scammers are pros, not your fault. For AI and crypto fans, this is a wake-up call. Innovation cuts both ways. For American workers and everyday folks, it's about staying sharp in a digital jungle. We need tech companies, governments, and all of us to team up. Think of it as a neighborhood watch for the internet. Stay curious, stay cautious, and keep your wallet locked tight. This is Agent Zena signing off, because even in the blockchain, trust is the real currency.
You know, Johnny, that makes me think of something that you want to talk about later, which is possibly a digital ID.
Digital ID.
A digital ID could be used to sign and authenticate if you are the human that's transmitting the message you say you are.
But then there's a slippery slope that we will go into of what that causes. While there is, it's the idea of when government tries to fix something, it causes eight other problems that are bigger.
Yeah, of course.
Right. So it is that way. But let me give you a piece of news that I got 8 hours ago.
Okay.
World's biggest Bitcoin seizure. Okay, I'm kind of, so this is UK.
Okay.
So it's this woman named Jahim Qian, I don't know. She had 61,000 Bitcoin that she had stolen from Chinese when she was in China.
Okay.
And then I guess got out of China. That's how much money she had to get her way out of China to get into thinking she was okay, maybe being in Great Britain.
Right.
They caught her. It's $6.7 billion of Bitcoin she scammed out of people over 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. By the way, that was pre all the AI stuff. That was early phishing.
Wow. Yeah. Somebody should hire her to work for the Rocket program like we did Wernher von Braun.
That's right. It's like, would you become a white hat hacker?
I mean, that's 100% what they do. They turn, well, they get people that are really good at what they do. Like, catch me if you can.
Catch me
if
you
can.
You work, like, a deal
you work
out.
For us. And
but it takes a hacker to catch a hacker.
Right.
There's no way that, you know, someone who has been in these MI5, MI6, whatever these organizations are that are searching this stuff, their cyber divisions, most of these people don't even know the newest things out there because they are actually playing defense, not playing offense.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you need somebody who plays offense to say, how are they? What are the new techniques? What are the things that are happening?
Yeah. I wonder how we're going to continue to recruit those people at scale. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, maybe there's more AI algorithms, but again, they'll be fixing and fighting and being ahead of the AI too, because
it's just a battle of your AI.
Well, it's a cold war all the time. You're fighting, you know, and the idea is, you know, was it attacking and retreating constantly. All they need is one portal in 85 million portals that they need to get into, and they can do it.
I would say it's more of a warm war than a cold war.
You're right.
It's not a flaming hot war yet,
yeah,
but it's boiling. It's simmering.
And again, you know, we're working in the AI space, and how many times have we sat around and read where somebody's startup AI company valued at $150 million is now not up because they got with a DDoS attack.
Right.
But of course that happens the minute you get on TechCrunch, the minute you get on Fox Business. You probably get – there's probably this a cyber team going, here it comes. That they know where we are now, so here comes all the attacks to see
– probably so. Yeah.
Also, there's good people looking to do that as well to get a bounty.
You got to offer the bounty though.
Oh, you can't just do it and say, I found your hole?
Oh, no. You've got to offer a bounty program.
That sounds
program.
Terrible, by the way. Yeah. I found your hole.
Yeah, well, that's a different kind of show.
In your code, baby, in your code.
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's keep it moving.
Yeah. Sorry, I stopped your flow.
That's all right. I don't mind. I didn't really have much of a flow going anyway. I get so distracted when we start talking about this because my mind turns into a popcorn machine of all the different things that can and will be done. We're just going to have to protect ourselves in new ways. And it's just – we talk a lot on this show about you have to live in the world as it exists, not the way you wish it existed. This is what the world is, and this is what the world is going to be. So you got to suck it up, buttercup, and be prepared.
And I hate to say this, but Agent Zena said this, was it's your job to be more skeptical than ever.
Right.
And I hate to be that world, but it's just in your best interest to say this is probably more fake than it is real. I mean, have to look at it that way.
Look, you thought the fake news was not telling you the truth before. Oof.
Man. Yeah. And again, and I will say the speed of commentary TV especially, but especially online is even worse when there is a video out. Mm-hmm. I just saw one today that was a video of a prank that was – how stupid is this, by the way? So there's a video out that is all in Spanish that shows a woman showing a video in the background of what looks like ICE agents grabbing a bride from her wedding and rushing her out of the reception hall.
Okay.
And it looks horrible. And so you watch it a little closer, and you realize that all the bridesmaids are laughing. It was a prank that they put on the bride. That ain't funny.
No.
But that wasn't AI, but everyone thought that was a real thing about how bad, you know, with ICE and all this stuff is. And the idea is, people, you have to look into this stuff. And you catch me all the time when I bring a thing on that I saw on X, and I will show it to you, especially when we had our noonday show where we'd show a video, and I go, can you believe that? You go, yeah, I mean, it looks pretty bad, but the real story is, and you would tell me it was a prank or it was a skit.
Make it even worse than that. There was a story that came out of somewhere on the East Coast about ICE holding a five-year-old hostage to try and get the dad. All right, so the real story of that is the illegal immigrant abandoned their child running away from ICE.
Right.
So, yes, the child was in ICE custody because the father abandoned them. But you don't need AI to lie. Like, that every single news source just lied because they wanted something to run about. Yeah. They wanted the negative story. And they didn't even take the 30 minutes to check and see if that was accurate.
Yeah. So, again, the idea going back to, look, I have to tell my mother constantly, and she is kind of a Facebook fanatic. You know, I have to constantly tell her, quit reposting this stuff of people you don't know. Right. Quit doing this. Quit doing these. And I constantly keep having to tell her, Mom, because I'm on her, I get her information. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, I'm the second email.
Yeah.
That will be like, Mom, I need to go into your thing and change your password again because you've been compromised. And I don't know what she's doing other than clicking or liking or bringing on somebody.
Well,
that, you know.
I mean, it's as simple
and that's
as
Facebook.
Look, you get tagged in something on Facebook. If you're not paying attention, you click on your notifications. Yeah. If you're not paying attention, you click on a link and you're
well, that, I hate to say it. That's why I haven't brought on a new friend on Facebook in probably a year and a half. Because I'm just scared to like, do I already have them? Do I not? It's a ridiculous thing. I thought I was already following this person. But it goes back to, skepticism is incredibly important, and the way we're going forward as you're watching the news, but definitely when you're watching online, if it's too good to be true for your team and so bad for your opposition, it's probably wrong on both counts.
I can't remember if I told this story last week, but if I did, I'll tell it again because it's good enough to tell. I was talking to a doctor the other day who we work with, and he told me he had his first case of a patient not doing what the doctor told – what he told him to do because of an AI video.
And
it was an AI video of Trump saying, found the cure to diabetes, buy this supplement.
Correct.
And this patient argued with the doctor that
the
Trump supplement is better than
Trump supplement. I'd be real skeptical of that. Like Trump steak and Trump wine and Trump Tide.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the show. We're having fun talking AI. Talking about all the different ways that you may get scammed by AI and how you need to be vigilant. And that's not something that's really fun to talk about, but it is something that's important to talk about. Johnny, there's a video I'm going to send you. We were talking about Sora 2. And this video is entitled, just asked it to generate the most 80s thing ever, and the output was fantastic.
No max headroom?
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. It's a minute and 17 seconds, but the first 30 seconds were pretty
so
good.
So I will tell you, anyone out there, go look at anything on YouTube called Max Headroom. It was a comedian's take on the future of what would be a computer-generated celebrity, which is what we're seeing. And it's it's so crude compared to what it is now because he glitches and he moves. It is genius. Like, it's when I go back and watch it now, it's so much better now to see how forward-thinking this character was.
How was that – how were those videos distributed back then?
MTV.
Oh, okay.
MTV. And then Pepsi hired him to be the spokesman of the new generation.
Was that a thing?
But then he had his own Christmas special, which is phenomenal. It's so good. It's so amazing. Again, I watch it. I'm a child of the 80s. I love the 80s. I will drink my CBD drinks on Friday and Saturday night and just go into my time capsule on YouTube. But there it is. Steve showed it to me. It's so amazing how good it is. And the crazy thing it is, I don't know what came first. There was a dude in Chicago, I think, called Captain Midnight that used Max Headroom, and he somehow broke the satellite of CBS or something, and broke into the Chicago market of this thing that was like, the end is near, and he did this kind of like Max Headroom thing. And they still have not found out who that guy is.
No kidding.
But breaking into the national airwaves, that's a major hack.
Speaking of somebody that needs to be hired by the government.
Again, that dude, probably Larry Ellison or something from Oracle. Early Elon Musk, who knows?
Ted Kaczynski dabbling days.
Kaczynski didn't touch a whole lot of he didn't touch a whole lot of computers unless it was the library.
Let's jump into something different real quick.
Yeah.
Big news for Mobile, the Red Clay Strays, our local band.
On Joe Rogan's
That's podcast, one of the biggest, probably the biggest podcast in the world. I looked it up. Over 100 million streams per episode across all the different platforms.
That's crazy, dude.
And I've listened to the first half of the show. They mentioned Mobile several times.
Fantastic.
One of the funny things is they talk about they're talking about the difference in Apple and Android phones and just ragging on the lead singer for having an Android. And he asked one of the other guys in the band, well, why do you have an iPhone? And he goes, well, you know, the leader of Apple is from where we're from.
Tim Cook, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, but, you know, he's never put an Apple store down there. Not that we probably deserve one.
And
the lead singer said, I'd probably get robbed anyway. I'm like, wow, 100 million people just heard us say that the Apple, if we ever had an Apple store in Mobile, it would get robbed.
That would be one of the biggest things. By the way, they opened up for the Rolling Stones last year.
Pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal. And a major venue, by the way.
Madison Square Garden.
No, it was up in Massachusetts. It was Boston area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And JT, the owner of Callahan's, they had it. So JT, trust me, I've been to many shows, and you have to travel, rock and roll shows. Do not do the rookie mistake that JT did. So JT, the owner of Callahan's, who Red Clay Strays love him.
Yeah.
They used to play in that little bitty room, right?
Oh, yeah.
They love JT. JT got like VIP passes to this Rolling Stone concert for the Red Clay Strays are opening up. He leaves the day of the show.
Oh, no.
Well, guess what happens?
Oh, no.
One plane can't go. He is stuck somewhere and misses the whole damn show.
Wow.
So never leave on the day of a show.
Or game. Or
never.
Anything.
You go, especially if you're driving is one thing, but if you have to deal with mass transit and planes You better leave 24 hours before you want to and just pay the $200 or whatever it is for the hotel room, because he missed out on something I don't think you can ever replace.
No. Well, I'm sure he's disappointed about it as well.
Wait, hold on. And I give him, I quit ragging him about it because he was like, I really wish you wouldn't rag me about that because I'm still a little upset. It wasn't just because, you know, he rags on me about a lot of things. Yeah. And I finally got something on him.
Sure.
But I quit real early when he did that, though.
Yeah, that one would hurt. That'd be a pretty painful one.
That would be. So I'm going to see Tears for Fears, by the way.
Okay.
Which is a fantastic band in the 80s. They're two producers that hated to travel and tour in the 80s because they could not make the show sound like the records they made because they were so complex. Because of technology, you can do it now.
Mm.
So we are going, my wife, Lady Wellborn, and I are going to Vegas to see. They're doing 6 weekends in, it's called In Residence, at this place called the Fairmont. Not in the Sphere, but they're in L.A. I'm sorry, in Vegas. And we are leaving the day before.
Right.
We're getting there really late, though, like 12:30 at night. We are not going gambling. Okay. We're going to probably, you know, rest, not do a whole lot that day, go to the show. But we are going a day early just so we do not miss those tickets, because it's hard to get the tickets for it's hard to get tickets for that.
Well, to your point, if you're going to fly across country, might as well not.
Right.
Not chance.
We're already spending a couple grand. What's another $200?
Right.
So the idea is, and plus also, I don't want to be rushed. I'm a very anxious person.
Hmm.
I don't want to be sitting on the tarmac going, oh, why aren't we moving? And I don't want to be rushing to get into the concert as well.
Yeah.
And I would imagine there is going to be a lot. I'm curious to see the light shows and all the things they're doing now, because I haven't seen a big show like that in quite a while. And I'm curious to see what new technology they're using as well.
Well, you'll have to report back to us. I'm interested as well.
But I want to at one point go to the Sphere, though, because I do. And I tried to get the Wizard of Oz tickets to go see the Wizard of Oz in Vegas at the Sphere. Yeah, no, sold out.
Yeah, it's like trying to get Hamilton tickets 10 years ago.
Yeah, sold out. But again, Wizard of Oz, they're thinking it's going to do $1 billion this year. This movie was made in the 30s.
Yeah.
$1 billion this year, right?
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned it's made in the 30s. In, I think it was 32, which means in 7 years, the IP is no longer protected.
But I wonder if the new film gets wrapped into it, because I told you they...
Probably. I just mean the characters and the...
Right, right, right. But we did a couple of weeks ago, we did a news report on The Wizard of Oz and how they used AI because they shot it in theater ratio, which is much different than widescreen is now.
Right.
But for the Sphere, it's 300 degrees. It's crazy. It's like 280 degrees or whatever it is. So AI had to recreate scenes and characters to make the scene work in the larger thing. That, to me, is fascinating. But they brought in some of the best AI in the film business to make that happen. And, again, it cost a fortune to do it, but they've made the money back so much, not a big problem to do it when you know you've got a property like that that can make that kind of money.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big bet, but it seems to be paying off. And you're only going to see more of that. You're going to see more enhanced video. I mean, that's one thing that we're going to see a lot of is this huge fight over what can be used for commercial purposes and how you define that.
Oh, right, because the copyright use.
Right. So, like, right now I just saw two examples of Sora making an episode of South Park and one of The Family Guy.
Oh, making new ones?
Yeah, it just rendered it perfectly.
Wow.
Like it's
But again, right now something that simplistic, they could easily do it.
Right, but they can even do it with movies where they're taking, you know, Brad Pitt and putting him in a different movie.
Oh, I saw that. It's amazing.
What he would, you know.
But I tell you, so again, negative and positive, right? So here's the positive side. Remember when Ted Turner did the classic?
Turner classic
started
movies.
Redoing everything. But he was taking those old master films and making them to where he was making them, they would last forever.
Right.
So maybe some of these films that maybe are real distorted can be fixed by AI now. Now, that would be really cool, too.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
All right, folks. We'll see you next time on Beyond the Blockchain, where we can talk more about if the aliens will look at our memes and think, huh, that's what that ancient civilization was like.